Thanks for returning to Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness for Side B of our post-Christmas broadcast cassette. December 27th, 1991 to be exact. 12:27, my mom Gladys's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. We jump right into a dumb birthday game with Jerry in Revere, Helen in Dorchester, who's really only here to provide sex appeal, Richard in Brockton, Dominic from West Warwick, Rhode Island, Mike Epstein in the control room and on the phone, Jack Hart in traffic. I also participate, and I'm on the phone. Back then, my shift ended at 1 a.m. I had produced the Peter Mead and David Brudnoy shows. However, because it was vacation week, there were substitute hosts. They were Steve Lavelli and Jeff Jacoby, respectively. Now, it's a fairly quick game that we do finish, but closes abruptly because of an ABC News special report on a plane crash in Sweden. You will hear that report, as well as a Norm update on it, from the wires. We have a post-dumb birthday game caller, Joanne from Brookline. Norm reveals what he received as a Christmas gift from his daughters, Sonia and Sarah. He also will do a dramatic reading of the WBZ AccuWeather forecast. And to close it out, Norm talks about Ted Miller, who did the weather reports on Channel 5 back before Radar. Ted wrote Norm a funny letter that he refers to, and he included a pic of him doing the weather back then. Sponsors and commercials? Steve Allen for the Resolve Stop Smoking Kit. We get two from Gold Bond Powder, starring Patrick Palladino Jr. from Winchester and Joan Cantwell from Brockton. Do you have hot, sweaty, burning, smelly feet? Well, break the cycle with Keep It In Your Sneaker. There's a First Night 92 promo. And then Norm tells us all about Eric Fuchs' hobby store. This one took me back because I used to visit this store on Tremont Street in Boston. They also had a heavy presence in the malls around New England at the time. And Norm lists them off. Now please, hold your applause until the entire head table of malls has been mentioned. Burlington, Liberty Tree, Emerald Square, Pheasant Lane, Fox Run, the Crystal Mall in Waterford, Connecticut, and, at the time, the new mall at Rockingham Park in New Hampshire. Thank you. Thank you. And now, here's Norm.
Time to play the dumb birthday game, and let's see who's on the panel with us. Jerry and Revere is with us now. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Norm. I got through the Olympic thing, and I got all the information I needed.
Oh, did you get it from that phone number, or did
yes.
you... A 1-800-OLYMPIC for people who are interested in knowing about that. Very good. We have Helen in Dorchester. Hello, Helen.
Hi, Norm. I'm trying for your cheesy price.
Well, it's a tacky price, and you'll hate it, but I admire the fact that you don't mind us sending you junk. You're okay. We have Richard also, who's down in Brockton. Hello, Richard.
How you doing, Norman?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good so far. How are you doing?
Good. I just got in.
Where'd you come in from?
I'm a truck driver.
Oh, was this a long haul or just a local?
No, local.
Okay, well, welcome to the game. Is this the
Thank
first
you.
Time you're playing it?
Yes.
Hey, it's nice to have new, fresh blood.
Thank you.
Anyway, we have Dominic also from Rhode Island. Hi, Dominic.
Good morning, Norman.
Good morning to you. Where in Rhode Island are you, Dominic?
West Warwick.
West Warwick.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice to have you. We also have Mike.
That's right.
Our producer, Mike.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay. And we also have Tony is with us, too. Tony, how you doing, Tony?
Morning, Norm.
Morning to you, big guy. Tony did producing up to about 1 a.m. until we got on the air. He was doing the David Brudnoy show with Jeff Jacoby and then...
Peter Mead show with Steve Lavelli.
The Peter Mead show with Steve Lavelli. Got through at 1 o'clock, left here as soon as I came on the air, left in disgust, looked at who was at the microphone, but now he's called back and reneged.
I'm winding down and I should be asleep probably after the second or third birthday.
That's okay. We work together again this coming night, Friday night. Okay. And we have
our last Friday night we'll be working together.
Well, we'll take that up privately as we go on to bang on the management's doors. Hey, can we get to Jack Hart? I don't seem to have the right button here to bring on Jack
Hart. Hold on, I'll get him.
Okay, he's going to get him.
Where did he go?
I say the same thing every week, Mike. Jeez.
Yeah,
where did he go?
Where, how can we...
There he is.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
There he is.
Oh,
is this thing working? Hello?
Hello? I love this when guys get up at a PA system and do hello. Hello.
Get the feedback.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so we have an interesting panel. I have to tell you a couple of things. Number one, not a whole lot of people were born on December 27th. Not a whole lot of well-known people.
It's my mom's birthday.
Is this Gladys Nesbitt's birthday?
Yes, it is.
Well, a very happy birthday to pretty Gladys Nesbitt. She's a nice lady, and I wish her the best.
Thank you.
Okay, we won't even guess her age. That's how much we like her. Okay? But this is the 27th, and hold on a second. I'm trying to pull things together. What we're going to do to augment the birthday, since there aren't a whole lot of well-known people, and I don't think anybody wants to guess the former Senator James McClure of Idaho. Somehow those kind of guesses, I don't know. So what I thought we would do
is... probably so old he's growing eyes.
Of Idaho it. Potatoes.
Yeah,
I understand that too.
But he's got a lot of appeal.
Oh, my.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yes. What we will do is there are certain big events that happen on this date. I will mention them to you, and then you can tell me what year. We can guess the year that they happened. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do when there aren't a whole lot of birthdays?
Oh, boy. So
absolutely.
What are we doing?
That's a twist. I'm confused.
I know you don't adapt. You young kids don't adapt.
No.
New ideas very quickly. Okay, let's start out first with Lee Salk. It says the psychologist. Who is the Salk?
Jonas.
Oh, Jonas invented the Salk vaccine. This is Lee Salk, the psychologist. This gives you an idea of the kind of birthdays we have for today. I mean, I'm not downplaying Lee Salk. He's probably a wonderful person and a brain, but guessing his age is not a great deal of fun.
Is it a relation to Jonas?
I really don't know.
Okay.
I don't know whether it is. I just don't know, and I'm panic-stricken about not knowing.
Well, we could spice it up and guess his weight.
We could do that, but I don't have his weight here. But I'll ask Jerry how old he thinks Lee Salk is, and he'll say, "Ooh, and I don't really care." But try it anyway. What
72?
72. That's as good a guess as anything if you don't know the fella. Helen, what do you think?
I say 70.
And what do you say, Richard?
I say 71.
And Dominic?
68.
Okay, 68. And what do you think, Mike?
I'll say 75.
75, says Mike Epstein. And Tony Nesbitt says?
And he's a psychologist? Psychiatrist?
No, it's a psychologist, yeah.
Okay, so people probably go sulking to him.
Wow.
71.
And what? I'm sorry, did you guess an age? Or,
cause 70, we're all, 71.
71.
I'm going to cower away after that.
Okay, because we were also giggling at your hilarious remark. Jack, what do you say?
I'm willing to bet he's like 85.
85, okay. Psychologist, you think of... Okay, 85 there. Let's check the actual age of Lee Salk as we check into our files here. And we find out that Lee
Looks
Salk...
a throbbing headache?
Yeah, can give you a throbbing headache, can it? I don't know, Professor Salk, I seem to hear these drums in my head. Lee Salk is actually 65 years old today, if anybody should ask.
You're only 20 years off, Jack.
Well, Dominic down in Rhode
Island.
It was
the century, anyway.
Dominic is 68.
Very good.
So he would be the closest. They're cheering you on, Dominic. They think you did a wonderful job on somebody that not too many people have heard about.
Amazing, Dominic.
But the bottom line is what counts.
That's right, it is. The bottom line, if you keep this up, you'll win our tacky prize and you get a piece of junk in the mail and it'll be just that wonderful. You know the name... let's see. Hold on a minute while I check the name here. Tova Felshu.
Bless you, Norm.
Really?
Coming down with
Tova? She's an Israeli actress who was...
She was in a movie about the sweatshop fire. It was a made-for-TV movie. It was... must be 1975.
I don't believe this. You're serious, aren't you?
I'm serious.
No. There was such a movie. In fact, it was a...
I don't doubt that. I'm just amazed at Jack's knowledge.
No. It was an awful fire, and it was in a garment district of New York, and tons of people were killed because of callousness by management.
Yeah.
When the immigrants who were coming in had no protection at all, they kind of jammed them all into one place. You know, go sew your heart out. Anyway, that's the movie that Jack is talking about. Tova Felshu. I think she was also in. What's it, Tevye, the
Fiddler on the Roof?
Fiddler on the Roof. I think she was in a version of that also.
No, that sounds familiar. I think I can remember seeing her name on the credits.
Okay, let's start with Jack on that. Tova Feldshuh. F-E-L-D-S-H-U-H, if the spelling helps you at all.
Those are my mathematical calculations.
If the shoe fits, Jack, wear it.
Yeah. let me see. I know she played a little so-and-so in that movie. I would say 43.
43, okay. I'm glad you took that much time to guess, because we do have very few birthdays. And this way we're padding with something. Oh, there's more information coming over your 24-hour traffic network a thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we call it a thing because we want to get technical. Tony, what do you say? How old is Tova Feldshuh?
Oh, and when was that movie, Jack?
Oh, somewhere between 75 and 82.
All right, I'll say she's somewhere between 40 and
47.
She's 45.
45, okay. And Mike?
It sounds about right, but I'll say 44.
44. Okay, Dominic, what do you think?
That was Mrs. Feldshuh's daughter.
Mrs. Feldshuh's daughter, exactly, exactly. Oh, man, you've already done your homework on this one, haven't you? 57?
She was a Feldshuh from way back.
Something like that. She's a Feldshuh from way back. I don't think I get that, but hey, I'm not too bright. And nobody ever said I was. If I were, I wouldn't be working at this time of the morning doing talk radio. Richard, what do you think?
I think she's 47.
47.
Yeah.
And Helen?
50.
And what do you think, Jerry?
I'll say 40.
Okay. Here's the actual age of Tova Feldshuh.
She's an actress. May as well give a little entertainment music.
No, it's show business. Makes sense. Okay, Tova Feldshuh is actually 39.
Oh, my.
Oh, 39, for heaven's sake.
Never heard of him.
And Jerry, you know, from Revere, Jerry said 40, and so he, you know, is the closest to Tova Feldshuh's. Don't drown me out with that music when I'm doing my Jack Benny imitation. Okay, so anyway, Jerry wins this round. Here, how about Marlena Dietrich finally getting to somebody you've got a fair shot at?
Yeah.
Marlena Dietrich, this is her birthday. She was born December 27th. Also, we'll start with Richard in Brockton. How old do you think Marlena Dietrich is today, Richard?
80.
80. Uh-oh, there's a tractor trailer loaded with some pollutant just spilled its contents, and they're evacuating all of the town of Avon.
Now, what if somebody just tuned in?
I know, somebody believe me with that. We could start a whole war of the world.
It would be like the Orson Welles deal, yeah.
That's right. Okay, Jerry, what do you think? How old is Marlena Dietrich today?
Marlena Dietrich is 90.
I know you're saying things, but I didn't quite get what you said, Jerry. What is that? How old is Marlene Dietrich?
Let me turn this down.
90.
90. You're saying 90. Yes. Okay. And Mike, what do you say?
I'll say 91.
91. Okay. Jack? Oh, Jack. Oh,
yeah, I was just turning the thing down. I
see.
The traffic thing.
Yeah, the traffic thing, yeah.
She's older than dirt. She's 91.
91. You're saying the same as Mike said. You WBZ guys really do stick together, as it were. Helen, what do you say?
About 85.
85. And Dominic?
You're 79.
79. Okay. And what do you say, Tony?
I know this for a fact. She's a reclusive 90.
She's a reclusive 90.
Yeah. I just read an article on her.
Okay, well, let's check the actual birth records. as we go to her hometown. As you know, she was born in Methuen, which is why she talks so funny.
My favorite laugh is added again.
Methuen, isn't that Lawrence with trees?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Marlena Dietrich on this date is 90 years old. And so Tony and Jerry both have hit it on the button. And that means Jerry is in the lead now. He has two wins. And Dominic has one, and Tony has one.
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Well, you're okay, Helen.
You're not alone, Helen. I'm kind of thinking up the place myself.
Actually, Helen is here for the sex appeal anyway. We didn't expect you to guess any. It's to drive these guys nuts, actually. It's not, well, now, as a matter of fact, we're going to go along to events that happened on this date. You tell me the year, okay, that these events happened. Because we're about out of birthdays, and we don't want to guess former Senator James McClure of Idaho, who I can tell you is 67 years old today, but what the heck.
I was going to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Radio City Music Hall opened on this date, December 27th. Can you tell me the year Radio City Music Hall in New York opened? Let's start with, we'll start with Jerry. What year did Radio City Music Hall open?
1950.
I wonder what building I went to when I was a little kid and watched the Rockettes. Must have been someplace else, I guess. Must have been the Rialto Theater in Everett, where they were warming up.
Yeah, the Strand.
Helen, what do you think?
1938.
That was a fantastic year. War was breaking out all over Europe, and those were the good old days. Finally bringing an end to a crushing depression. Boy, those were days. Boy, wish we could go back to those days again.
You were there, weren't you?
You bet I was. And so were you, Helen, so don't be wise with me, pal.
You had it good back then.
Oh, we had it
you
great.
You guys had it great. Yeah.
We went from crunching poverty to a war that took everybody who had any pulse.
I'm telling you, these kids these days, and I'm one of them.
Yeah, they don't know the fun we had back then. Richard, what year do you think Radio City Music Hall opened?
1920.
Okay. Dominic, what do you say?
1934.
Okay, and Mike, no, how what?
I'm going to say 1928.
1928.
I don't know why.
You don't know why?
No, I'm just picking out numbers.
Well, that's okay. Fortunately, knowing why is not one of the requirements.
Thank goodness.
You can say the most stupid thing. We never asked you why you said that dumb thing at all. That doesn't matter because we're all just a darn democratic here. Tony, what do you think?
1933.
We had to laugh, so otherwise you sounded so serious about that. What do you think, Jack? When did Radio City Music Hall open?
Well, I'm assuming that radio would have to have been invented.
Yeah. Radio City, that's a very good assumption.
Well, wait a minute. Technical.
Deductive reasoning isn't allowed.
Yeah.
Logic is not allowed, Jack.
I see. I just have to come up with some roundabout random way.
Yeah, you have to just ramble on in a stupid manner. Never mind talking with someone.
In 1806, they built the building.
That's right. And the only mistake they made was radio had not been invented, so they had to wait a while before they could open it. It was the same year that the telephone booth was invented. Now they had to wait for the invention of the telephone. It was the year that Walter Lipschitz went over Niagara Falls in a folding beach chair.
They didn't have beach chairs.
Well, we don't even know the year yet, Alice. How do we know about that? The hammock was invented after a man named George Hammock. I don't know. Now we're starting to read. Anyway, Jack, what year was the Radio City Music Hall open?
After he invented the hammock, he was in the swing of things.
Nineteen thirty-one. Okay, let's find out the actual year that Radio City Music Hall
is
open.
With all the dancing they've done, they must have done the saber dance at least once.
I see.
In Radio City.
Okay, Radio City, that's right. You can see the Radio City Rockettes just a kicking and a moving awfully fast to this one. The Radio City Music Hall Radio City Music Hall opened in New York in 1932. And so you all came very, very close. The man who came the closest, I would guess, would be Jack, who said 31. And also Tony said 33.
Yeah.
So we have two winners there. Smoke. Yeah.
It's a man's world.
Yeah, it's a man's world. Let me get in on
it. I wish more women thought that way.
Okay, we have Jerry, who's got two, and Tony also has two, and each one more cuter than the other, I want to say. Dominic has one, and Jack has one. So the only people who have not scored as yet would be you, Helen. And again, you're along for the sexual appeal that you bring to this program, so it doesn't matter.
I'm here because Jack's here.
And Richard has no sexual appeal, so...
Who called to wish me a Merry Christmas the other day?
I'm sorry, who's that?
Is Helen the woman who called to wish a Merry Christmas the other day?
Oh, was that you, Helen?
Thank you very much.
Okay, Richard has not scored as yet either, Richard, and they've been saying that about you for years, haven't they not? And Mike also has not gotten anything either.
Mike was scoreless yesterday, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, Mike has been scoreless now, I think, for 17 days.
Okay, anyway.
Here's another date for you. The children's television program Howdy Doody, hosted by Bob Smith. Hi, Bob Smith. Is that a good imitation? Or does that really stink?
That was good.
Yeah, it made its... hey, how are you kissing a peanut gallery? Anyway, it made its debut on NBC.
Oh, I thought he speaks like Bob had a few.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you ever sit around with a bunch of puppets and kids eating peanuts, you'd get slopped with some...
He's been Howdy's varnish a little too long.
Okay. And what year was it that they made their debut on Howdy Doody? They made its debut on NBC. And let me see. Let's start with Jack.
Oh,
and it was on this date on December 27th. So we just need the year now.
We just need the year,
which is the easy part.
I guess television would have to have been invented.
That could have been a play.
Yeah, not necessarily. They did it in a small room for some friends and a fake camera. But Howdy Doody is such a wooden ad. He didn't know the difference.
I'll say 1951.
Okay. And what do you think, Tony?
I'll say 1951 also.
Okay. And what do you think, Mike?
I'll say 1950.
And Dominic?
My daughter should have been about 12, and it's
1962. Okay. And Richard?
I think
1952. Helen?
55.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Jerry?
1953.
I think I'm going to be surprised at the answer. 1962 was an interesting answer because I remember seeing it on the air in 1950 and 51. Obviously, they didn't know it was actually being broadcast. Somehow, the signal kept escaping the studio, and we were watching, and they didn't know.
That fake camera was a real camera. Yeah.
Here's the actual year. Let's see what kind of a sound effect we get from Mike here. On the year that Howdy Doody took to NBC on this day,
something from around the same era.
Same era.
Wow.
What theme is this?
Name the show. Name this program.
Honeymoon.
Exactly.
Live from New York, the fat guy and Steve Allen's wife's sister, along with the guy in the sewer. Okay, Howdy Doody. This surprises me, and you know how hardened I am to life and callous and skeptical and cynical, and yet this surprises me. Howdy Doody actually made its debut on NBC in 1947.
Oh, wow.
Which was a year before WBZ, which was the first Boston station, went on the air. We went on the air here at WBZ. We went on the air like it's my station. Like if I went over to television, they'd even know who I was. Like they would give a damn. I hate you, Channel 4. Anyway, Channel 4 went on the air in 1948. And so this was a year before New York. It had to be one of the first... But the first network television show.
Did they pick it up in syndication?
No, I think actually at that time there wasn't even a coast-to-coast network.
Must have been a local show.
They did not have the, well, it was NBC, And maybe what do they call it? Not videotape. What was that term they used?
Wire.
And it begins with a K.
Oh, kinescope.
Kinescope. The kinescope that I suppose, and then rebroadcast it on the West Coast because there was no coaxial cable. It went across the whole country at that time.
I used to have one of those when I was a kid, one of those kinescopes.
Oh, did you?
You look at it and you see all different shapes?
Yeah, that's right. It changes. I had a coaxial cable myself, and I remember staring at it wondering what I should do with it. I never did figure that out. Anyway, the year 47, the person who came the closest to that would have been Mike, who said 1950. Yeah, all the rest of you said 51, 52, 50.
Didn't someone else say 50 also? I thought I heard.
No,
that.
Nobody else said 50. You're the only one.
Oh, my.
So you're the sole winner of that. That's interesting. Finally. 1947.
Wow.
I'm going to give you one more, only because we're having just so darn much fun that I hate to end this thing. So we'll milk it one more time.
Oh, my.
And this would be the one of the major works of the American Musical Theater, opened at the Ziegfeld Theater in New York on this very date, also December 27th. In the what year was that? I was going to tell you the year just then, because I happen to be a very stupid person. Okay, the Showboat was the name of the show. Showboat, George Gershwin's Showboat. Was it George Gershwin or Showboat? Yeah. Here come the Showboat. That doesn't sound like Gershwin. Yes, it is. Oh, Bess, you is my one. No, that was Porgy and Bess. That's right. No, he didn't write Showboat.
Just keep rambling, Norm.
Yeah, who wrote that?
It's like a tiny history lesson.
You know. Who did write Showboat? I don't even know who wrote that. But anyway, it certainly was a big major musical. And whoever wrote it ought to be proud of him or herself.
By one of the big musical writers of our time.
Yeah, and you know his name. And here he is as our next guest. Okay.
This is your life.
Well, Showboat. Okay, what year did Showboat, Captain Andy, and all those folks? Let's start with Richard in Brockton. What do you think, Richard?
Let's go. I might as well lose. 1937.
Don't say might as well lose. Don't let's have a defeatist attitude, because that's not like you, Richard. You're a fighter, and we all know that.
No.
Okay, you're not a fighter, huh? No. I must be reading somebody else's biographical sketch.
Right,
Mike, what do you say? When did Showboat open at the Ziegfeld Theater in New York?
All right, I'm going to say 1929.
Right during the stock market crash and the Big Depression.
And everyone went to see Showboat.
That's right, everybody said, let's go. And if we sing, here come the Showboat with Captain Mandy, it'll make us feel better. Okay, Jerry, what do you think?
1935.
Okay, and let's see. Jack.
1927.
And Dominic?
1932.
And what do you say, Helen?
30.
1930. 1930 was a glorious year. Herbert Hoover was still president, and everybody was destitute. It was a good year, man. I wish we could go back to the good old days.
I feel old. How about you, man?
Those were the days.
Those were the days. They were fun days. Tony, when do you think Showboat opened? What year?
Oh, well, I'm going to cruise in. I'm going to dock in with the Santa.
Oh, jeez.
1931.
Okay, let's check and see the actual year that Showboat opened at the Ziegfeld Theater in New York City, and all America was singing and dancing to these magical tunes.
Oh. And here comes that boat just rambling along.
Yes, sir. Here it comes. Look at that. Look at all the folks there just waving at us from the boat. The actual year that Showboat went up the Mississippi from Nashville or from New Orleans to Chicago and jazz was born or something. Anyway, now Showboat opened 1927, which is exactly what Jack said. Yeah, Jack Hart said 1927. You were all very, very close, though. Very, very close.
Norman, I don't want to cut this short, but we've got an ABC special report coming in 2 minutes. I'm just getting one
really?
Here.
Okay. Yeah. No, that was the last thing
what's
I had.
What's going on, Mike?
Okay.
What is this? This is
there was a plane crash in Sweden, I guess.
Oh, really?
100 people on the plane or something like that.
Oh, okay. Jerry, I want to thank you very much for being part of all of this.
Good night, everybody. Thanks.
Good night.
Okay.
Good night,
and hang on. We don't have a winner.
Jack's the winner, isn't he?
Jack has two.
I thought he had three.
No, he has
two.
No, he had two.
Okay.
And
I had nothing.
And Tony had two. And
that's Mike.
Is that Mike hanging up?
Yeah.
That means that Tony. No, that isn't Mike at all. Well, anyway, thank you very much. We had no winners, and let me thank you all for being part of this. I'm sorry we have to go, but I'm a little late, so good night, folks. We'll check in on that report in just 1 minute.
To save precious life, most cigarette smokers want to quit. This is Steve Allen with a way for you to stop that's guaranteed or your money back. A stop smoking kit called Resolve makes it quick and easy. It contains no drugs or nicotine. Instead of cigarettes, inhale on a long-lasting cigarette substitute you never light up. Enjoy its refreshing taste until you rid your body of nicotine addiction. A supply of special filters and an audio cassette of me interviewing Dr. Margaret Seidman, an ex-smoker, helps all the way. Even how to control weight. Resolve is $19.95 plus shipping. Imagine, for about the cost of a carton of cigarettes, you may finally kick the habit that could kill you.
A Resolve kit plus extra filters is $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Send a $22.95 check to Resolve, P.O. Box 9113, Boston, Mass. 02134. That's $22.95 to Resolve, P.O. Box 9113, Boston, Mass. 02134.
The time about 20 minutes before 4 o'clock. Norm Nathan here at the WBZ Radio. It's 31 degrees.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Mary Margaret Myers. We have reports of a plane crash in Sweden. Air traffic controllers in Stockholm have told Reuters that a Scandinavian Airlines plane with 122 people on board crashed shortly after takeoff from Stockholm's Arlanda Airport today. Airport officials have confirmed there has been a crash. We have no immediate information on any casualties, nor is there word so far on the flight number or the plane's destination. We will have further details as they become available. Once again, there are reports that a Scandinavian Airlines plane with 122 people on board crashed shortly after takeoff today from Stockholm's Arlanda Airport. I'm Mary Margaret Myers. This has been a special report from ABC News.
Okay, it's 19 before 4. We will keep you in touch with that, so do stand by.
Patrick Palladino, Jr. of Winchester, Massachusetts, is telling us about his skin problems.
My rash was red and blotchy. It was itching, and it would be very uncomfortable just to stand and work. It was sore and very irritated.
But Patrick Palladino got relief using Triple Action Gold Bond medicated powder.
And then I came across Gold Bond powder, and that seemed to help right away. When you put it on, it's cool, it's comfortable. The tingling effect was very soothing.
Gold Bond's Triple Action is like three great powders in one. It has the absorbing action of powder, the medicating action of a proven itch fighter, and the drying action of zinc oxide. That's Triple Action Gold Bond.
And when I put on the Gold Bond powder, I get relief almost immediately. The itching goes away quite rapidly, and it's one of the few products that you can buy, that I can buy, that I get an instant gratification from. It works that fast for me.
Try Triple Action Gold Bond medicated powder. Use only as directed. Available at CVS, today's neighborhood drugstore.
I don't have corns or bunions, but when I wear sneakers, my feet feel terrible. Hot, sweaty, burning, sore, and they smell as bad as they feel.
There's a simple solution. Keep it in your sneaker.
What do you mean?
Keep it in your sneaker, a specially formulated powder for common foot problems like yours. It starts in seconds to put out that fiery feeling and stop odors, too. It cools and soothes and relieves with its special ingredients.
That's terrific.
That's not all. Keep it in your sneaker helps break the cycle of friction, sweating, and discomfort.
How?
Your feet are loaded with sweat glands. Friction causes more sweating. That excess moisture can cause real problems, even promote athlete's foot fungi.
What's Keep It In Your Sneaker do?
Breaks the cycle, first by reducing friction, then by drying out excess moisture.
Does this stuff quit after a few minutes?
No way. Just shake it on your socks and sneakers and on your feet. It keeps working while you're working out.
Hey! My feet feel great. I'm using this every day.
Keep it in your sneaker powder. Relieves sore, burning feet. Stops odors, too. Use only as directed. Available at all Brooks drugstores.
The time is 17 minutes before 4 o'clock. Showboat Jerome Kern. Somebody called to remind me of that. I should have known that. Couldn't think of who wrote Showboat. That's sacrilegious almost not to know that. Anyway, 254-1030. We'll take some calls from you.
That story that ABC just reported just now clearing our wires, airport officials in Stockholm say a plane carrying 122 people has crashed. Officials of the SAS airplane went down after taking off from Arlanda, A-R-L-A-N-D-A, International Airport, which is north of Stockholm. It was en route to Copenhagen, Denmark, and again, no word of any casualties. But we'll follow that story for you and let you know what's going on. But that's the only information we have, and I know we'll follow it. ABC will, and we'll keep you up to date. 16 before 4 here at the WBZ. We'll take some phone calls at 254-1030. Our area code is 617.
Now, more first night information on WBZ, AM 1030.
Your first night 92 button is your ticket to Boston's dazzling New Year's Eve celebration. And it's not too late to get yours. Buttons are only $10. So pick up your first night 92 button right now at all Bonpon French Bakery Cafes, Blockbuster Video, participating Christie's Markets, D'Angelo Sandwich Shops, participating Fleet Banks and Star Markets. Call 357-NITE for the outlet near you.
Listen for more First Night information from your official First Night information station, WBZ, AM 1030.
Okay, let's talk with Joanne in Brooklyn. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Norm. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good.
Norm, first of all, I want to tell you, Jerome Kern and Oscar Hammerstein on Showboat.
Okay, yeah. That was Oscar Hammerstein. Senior, the first Oscar,
yes,
not the one
yes.
I wrote with Rogers, Richard mm-hmm. Rogers later.
No.
Thank you. I should have known that, and I did not. And
well,
I thank you for the information.
That's my all-time favorite show that I saw.
Showboat?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And the funny part is I have the albums, you know, and just yesterday I got, as part of my Christmas gifts, Showboat and the cassette, which is great.
Oh, the movie version, or the theater version?
No, I have the theater version on the albums. And this is the movie version.
Who was in the movie? Who was that? That was the...
Ava Gardner.
Oh, that's right. And that, what is that other guy's
oh,
name?
Oh, Lord, I can't ever think
oh,
of his name.
I know. He did a few other musicals.
Yeah, he did.
And I can't think of his name either.
No, I can't. I can't because, well, I think...
Howard Keel. Wasn't it Howard Keel? Would it have been him?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think that's.
But I'm not positive.
Okay.
But once you see the show, you know it's not like the same when it's a movie. You know.
Oh, I think seeing a show live on stage
oh,
is
God,
so much better than anything you.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, just being there while it's happening is so exciting. I've always loved the theater and never come late. That's why the lady is a tramp.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why I burst into that.
Oh, I love that. Norm, I wanted to ask you. Did you receive a little card with some photos in it from me on those two little guys that I adopted?
Oh, yeah, thank you, yeah. No, wait a minute. Now, when did you send that?
Before Christmas, with a little note on it.
No, I have not.
That's okay.
I hate to sound snobbish, but I was fortunate enough to get so many letters, and I'm going through every single one of them, so I'll come across it. I just have not as yet.
No, I know from listening to you that you have a backup on. I did not send it to the studio.
Oh, you sent it home?
Yes, I did.
Okay, no, I'm a little behind there, too.
Well, I sent it home because I thought the girls might like to see them.
I'm sure they will, and I will make sure that they do see them.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's really nice. That's very cute.
Yeah.
The two little kittens.
And I really hope you have a very happy and peaceful New Year.
Thank
healthy
you.
One.
Thank you. We had actually, you know, as much as we all sat around talking about Norma and the kids missed their mom as I do.
Yeah.
But it was nice. They were both home and we went out to dinner and exchanged gifts. And I got a fantastic gift from them.
I know.
A canoe. Did I tell you that?
Oh, no. I thought it was the baseball. Oh, that was your birthday.
Oh, no. That was the birthday. Yeah, that was baseball. Yeah, to about six Red Sox games.
That's great.
I'm excited about that. But this is a canoe. A part of, we live on the river, not close by, but part of our land that stretches
yeah.
out to this roaring, majestic Ipswich River, which is a small river. You could fall overboard. You'd be able to walk the shore. It's not that big.
Well, that's nice.
But I've canoed up and down the river a few times with a rented canoe or somebody else's canoe
Did
or
you?
Something. And so now I've always wanted to have a canoe, so on a warm summer day I could just head out there and just canoe. So that's coming. Anyway, that was one of the gifts.
Isn't that great?
That's kind of an oddball kind of gift that I'm pretty pleased with.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I love anything like that.
Okay, come along with your kittens and we'll row up and down the Ipswich River.
Oh, not me, thank you. I've been in canoes before and I'd never go in another one.
Oh, because you were with a fresh guy, probably.
No. I was just terrified. I felt like I was almost sitting in the water. I'm afraid of those. I like bigger boats.
Oh, you like bigger boats, okay? Like a steamboat in.
A
showboat too.
I'd love to take one of those rides. They have those going up and down the. I have a friend who rides those ones.
Yeah, I was mentioning to a fellow who had called from a town outside of Cincinnati on the Ohio River that had been with Colonel Sanders one year.
Yeah.
Not just me alone, but a whole bunch of us.
Yeah.
Going up down on a whole steamboat up the Ohio River, which is always kind of fun.
Oh, I bet it is.
They have them, of course, on the Mississippi River. They're all old relics. They're not used for modern transportation, of course, but they're available and they're kind of fun. So if you ever get out to that part of the country,
yeah,
by all means. Fun. In fact, I think there's an old. Maybe a steamboat that comes down the Merrimack River in the summertime. I think they do a lot of that there up in the Merrimack since they cleaned up the river. I think so. That's close enough. I think I'll be in touch and see if I can find out, get some information on that.
Oh, that's great, Norman. That sounds good.
That'd be a nice thing for a contest, wouldn't it? Winners have a cruise down the Merrimack River on an old boat.
I'm for that.
Okay, I'll keep you in touch. Okay, take care of yourself, Joanne.
Thank you, Norm.
You're welcome. Right. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Okay, 254-1030, 10 before 4 is the time here to beautiful WBZ. Thank you just so much. Okay, let's check the WBZ AccuWeather forecast. I think that would be kind of nice, don't you?
Yes, sir, we was going down the Mississippi River and we on a steamboat. We just passed St. Louis. St. Louis, we called it. And we was heading up north. Eventually, he's going to make St. Paul, Minneapolis, right up to the northern waters. Suddenly, out of the sea, came Dave Bowers with the WBZ AccuWeather forecast. You can tell I have no idea where I'm going with this thing.
Okay, anyway, the WBZ AccuWeather forecast. Dave Bowers says overnight partly cloudy. Low temperatures about 28 degrees.
Hey, you, sit down here next to the campfire while I strum my guitar and tell you the weather.
Friday during the day, it'll be partly to mostly sunny, brisk and chilly. Highs 36 to 40.
We'll wait till daylight and then we'll forage through the woods. You and I. We'll live on birch bark, wild berries, and whale blubber. And hope to God that we're rescued by some missionary tribe going through this thick underbrush.
I'm sorry, I seem to have lost my place. And Friday night, clear skies, lows about 23. Saturday, lots of sunshine, highs about 40. Sunday, partly sunny with highs 38 to 42. Monday, windy with variable cloudiness, highs 34 to 38 degrees. Right here in Boston at this very moment outside our WBZ studios here, WBZ Broadcast City, right on the mighty majestic Charles River, it's 31 degrees.
Well, I got you here. Let me tell you about... Tell you a story about Eric Fuchs' hobbies. He was a man made his way out west one year. He's been Santa's helper since 1945. And now that Christmas Day has passed, make good. We want to make good on that Eric Fuchs spot. Anyway, now that Christmas Day has passed, Santa's work is done for another year. But at Eric Fuchs, their work as Santa's helper is still not finished, because if you received a model train set for Christmas, you'll need to visit an Eric Fuchs hobby store to bring your train to life.
At Eric Fuchs, you'll find all the extra accessories you need for your model railroad. Extra cars and track, buildings and trees, tiny people and automobiles. Whatever kind of train set Santa left you, whether it's a Lionel HO gauge, N gauge, or big scale LGB, Eric Fuchs Hobbies has the best selection of all the extra accessories you need to bring your model railroad to life. All the accessories you need are in stock at all Eric Fuchs Hobby locations. Eric Fuchs Hobbies at 28 Tremont Street, Boston, the Burlington Mall, Liberty Tree, and Emerald Square Malls. Hold on a minute. Would you hold your applause till I introduce all the malls? Thank you. Pheasant Lane and Fox Run Malls, the Crystal Mall in Waterford, Connecticut, and the new mall at Rockingham Park in New Hampshire.
Ooh!
It just takes very little to please you, Marilyn, does it not? Okay, it's six before 4 o'clock. We have it's a kind of rather a quiet night, so if you have a chance to call, incidentally, sort of we have sort of got out of that the dumb birthday game very quickly. But Jerry and Revere had a couple of correct answers, but so did Jack, and so did Tony. So it was sort of a tie, so there really were no winners as a result. But we'll play the game again tomorrow, I think. I haven't looked to see how many people who was born on December 28th, but we'll just continue the kind of mad frivolity and the wild wonderfulness that we have. I didn't mention the lottery numbers before, did I? Let me do that now. Massachusetts daily lottery number was 4872. Mass cash was 57, 10, 15, and 17. Tri-state 353 and 7764. Rhode Island 9066. That's the daily. The lot of bucks in Rhode Island, 6, 15, 20, 22, and 24. And in Connecticut, the daily 716 and 0618. And also an exciting game at the Boston Garden, the Hartford Whalers and the Boston Bruins. And the Bruins won a 3-2. In any case, we'll talk about that maybe in more detail a little bit later on. But we'll be around till 5 this morning, right after the 5 o'clock news, the Tom Bergeron Show. We'll hold Tom Bergeron morning crew to keep you up to date on things. And David Brudnoy sitting in for Tom this week, and he'll be with you in about an hour and 10 minutes or so here at WBZ.
Joan Cantwell of Brockton, Massachusetts, is telling us about her skin problems.
I had developed a skin rash, and the rash was red, itchy, very uncomfortable. At its worst, it was painful. It was very irritating.
But Joan Cantwell got relief using Triple Action Gold Bond medicated powder.
The Gold Bond powder has a nice clean feel to it. There's a cooling sensation. At the end of the day, the area that was irritating in the morning is no longer irritating.
Gold Bond's triple action is like three great powders in one. It has the absorbing action of powder, the medicating action of a proven itch fighter, and the drying action of zinc oxide. That's triple action Gold Bond.
It's gone. Completely gone. The itching in the area of the rash was taken care of. It doesn't itch anymore. I don't use any other powder but Gold Bond.
Try Triple Action Gold Bond medicated powder. Use only as directed. Available at CVS, today's neighborhood drugstore.
I don't have corns or bunions, but it feels like there's a fire inside my sneakers. My feet feel hot, sticky, and sore. And they smell as bad as they feel.
Use Keep It in Your Sneaker. It relieves sore, burning feet. Stops odors, too.
What is it?
Keep It in Your Sneaker is a specially formulated powder for common foot problems like yours. It starts in seconds to put out the fire. You feel its special ingredients working to cool and soothe your feet.
That's terrific.
That's not all. Keep It in Your Sneaker helps break the cycle of friction, sweating, and discomfort.
How?
Your feet are loaded with sweat glands. Friction causes more sweating. Excess moisture can cause problems, even athlete's foot fungi.
What's Keep It in Your Sneaker do?
Helps break the cycle by reducing friction, then by drying out excess moisture.
How long does it work?
As long as you're working out, just shake it in your socks and sneakers and on your feet.
Feels great. I'll use it every day.
Keep It in Your Sneaker powder. Relieves sore, burning feet. Stops odors, too. Use only as directed. Available at all Brooks drugstores.
Remember the other day, excuse me, we were talking about, I was trying to think of the name of a guy who used to do the weather on Channel 5 in Boston. During the pre-meteorological times. You know, that is not, we have meteorologists who do the weather. And I was, his name was Ted. Somebody had called from West Newbury, and I knew that Ted lived up there. I just couldn't think of his name. He worked with Dick Kilbride, who had a duck, who played some characters like that, some puppets. Anyway, he finally came up with the name Ted Miller, and it's kind of fun. I got a note from, and I worked with Ted over at Channel 5 in those days, and I just couldn't think of the name. Anyway, I got a nice note from Ted. He says, it's okay, you know, for me to forget. He says, dear Norm, it's okay. It's perfectly normal nowadays. I go upstairs, but forget what for. Other times I avoid my neighbor because I've forgotten his name. But come on, Norm, all you got to do is think of less filling or head for the mountains beer, right? Now think hard, Miller's beer. And then think of Fenway Park, which makes you think of Kurt Gowdy and Joe Costanza. And I don't know why, but Ted Williams. Go back to Miller's beer and Ted Williams, and what have you got? Williams beer, no, Ted Miller. Anyway, went on and on like that. He's a funny man, and he was always a talent, a cartoonist and stuff from up that way. So I guess there's a name I won't forget in a hurry. And he sent a picture along that was taken when he was doing the weather back then, which would have been, boy, when would that have been? 19, seems like we've had meteorologists with their crazy electronic radar things forever. So this would go back to the 50s, I guess it was. I hope he looks a little older than that, because he looks like a little kid there. Anyway, Ted Miller, was nice to hear from you. I appreciate that. Let's check the news. Now we'll take some more calls during the last hour. We'll be on till 5, and we have a lot of open lines, so this will be a good time to call, and we'll chat, okay, and visit. Norm Nathan sitting in for Bob Raleigh, who's on vacation right here at WBZ.
Don't wait to be in the know. Depend on WBZ Boston for the information you need when you need it. Only from New England's news and information station, WBZ AM 1030.
Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share, and comment. Check out the links to all the platforms the Vault of Silliness is gracing with its presence. This will be the last podcast for 2020. But don't you worry. I plan on keeping up the silliness into 2021. Laughter is the best medicine, so please consider this your prescription with open-ended refills. With that said, see you next year. Closing the vault and riding those radio waves home. For Mike Epstein, Jack Hart, and the New Year baby himself, Norm Nathan, I'm Tony Nesbitt.